You would be scratching your head and wondering what kind of communication took place before the show, because Tabi is wearing jeans and a cerise pink t-shirt. I'm wearing jeans and, well, mine's halfway between cerise pink and red. And Bev Malone has just walked in to the studio wearing jeans and a cerise pink t-shirt.
What is that? I got the memo, Nikki. I got the memo. Lee sent out a memo this morning and it said, any shade of pink or reddish, you know, you can do. And I just stood in front of the cupboard and went, right, this will have to do.
This will have to do.
I didn't get that colour, though.
We look like the
team. I mean, that is seriously pink.
Yeah.
I can't even get my son to use pink headphones. He's like, no, they're pink, please. I said, boy, pink's the new black.
I know.
You'll be so in.
You see, he's so comfortable with his
mask. He doesn't like black either, he said, so he won't use the pink.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, but Tabi is so secure, you know, in his masculine. He doesn't mind.
Lime green's also the new black. So now I'm wondering, what is black? Do we even have black anymore?
I don't know.
Pink's the new black. Lime green's the new black.
You know, it's all changing.
Yellow's is the new black.
Is it? Yellow. Yeah. I don't know if I could do yellow. In fact, I have done yellow.
However, men look great in yellow.
Mm. Well, Tabs does. Tabi always. Okay, listen, let's not. Bev,
let's
we have
focus,
lots of people who want your
focus.
Attention.
Okay.
And they're going to be very frustrated with us if we do not get on with it.
Have we got bad feedback?
No bad feedback, darling. No, but people are SMSing left,
okay,
right, and
left. Okay, let's do it. I'm ready.
Let me
Bring it on.
First one is the 14th of February, 1961. And while Bev's working that out, let me just remind you that if you phone us in the studio, we do take your calls first. 0861 24 24 36. Bev, 14 Feb, 1961. Go for it.
Okay, so here we have somebody who wants to be a leader. And not everyone does, you know. People say to me, well, doesn't everybody want to be a leader? No, they don't. That's the truth. A lot of people don't want to take the lead. They don't want to be pushed in front. They don't want to be called to be counted on. They want to be left alone to just get on with business, use oxygen and carry on with the day.
Okay.
Right. But some people want to burn oxygen and they want to do something serious with it. And so when you have somebody who wants to be a leader and has ambitions and wants to be helpful and life-changing for the world, then you couple that with a deeply sensitive, philosophical person who's not so flexible, and we don't have the easiest mix. So I imagine this person has had a lot of conflicts to overcome and a lot of personal paradoxes. Now, obviously, in a family where that would have been nurtured and those insecurities or fears would have been supported, we would have seen a person rising up in this capacity to be a very significant part of helping others and reaching out and doing things in a formidable fashion. We would have seen that realized. But of course, we look at someone who was raised in the 60s, and this was most likely by young parents, post-war, etc. And there was a different element of how children were encouraged and raised, and it was very rigid. So it may have fed into that rigidity, and it was so rigid that the teenagers of the 70s said, stuff this, you know, forget it. We're not cutting our hair at all. We're not doing what you say at all. We won't be conscripted. We won't this. We won't that. We want the music the way we want it. And the 70s is very much about that. It's very much about existential crises and finding my own spirit. And I was born in the 70s. So people born in that time were also supported with that capacity to be very alternative and open and changing. Not everyone takes advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Not every single person coming out of the 70s, but certainly the energy was there.
Okay.
So I'm not convinced that this person would have necessarily got that support in that time, but the work would have been to maintain a compassion for others and to maintain a sensitivity while moving through the insecurities that would have held this person back, and also being outspoken. You know, this is a person with a lot of creative ideas, a lot of things to say, a lot of ways to do things. And so when we are outspoken and insensitive to others, when we feel thwarted or challenged or suppressed or held back, then we can tend towards saying things that might not necessarily be serving of ourselves, never mind others. Remember, my big line is win in life, don't worry always about winning in the moment. And winning the moment means, well, I'm right and you're wrong, and there, I've put you in your place. Great. Well, how does that work for our relationship going forward? How do I look? How do I feel? How do you feel? How's the respect between us? How's the compassion, the sensitivity?
Okay.
So winning in life is a far better program to be on than the win in the moment program, where most people are left feeling empty afterwards because it's a hollow victory. I've won, but so what have I won? It's like that movie they did about Masada. I remember seeing it when I was very young. And the last line of that movie has stood with me for well, almost 3 decades now, really. And it was the general who was standing on top of Masada, and he was standing over the body of the man he'd met for years on the mountain, trying to negotiate with them to come down, and etc. He was the leader of all those people. And one of the sergeants comes running, and he says, "We did it, General. We did it. We took it. We've killed them. They're dead. We've got it." And he said, "What? What have we done? What have we done? We won a rock in the middle of a desert. It's a hollow victory.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily always get out something huge from winning something big in the moment."
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that has value for the 14th of Feb, 1961.
14th of Feb, 1961. This is a man, 18th of April, 1972. 18th of April, 1972. If you've just tuned in right now, Bev Malone, our self-esteem engineer, is in the studio doing numeric profiling. You can call us directly in the studio and we'll take your call first. The number 0861 24 24 36. Right now we're looking at the man who SMS'd through the date, the 18th of April, 1972.
Okay, I've got it. So this person, this gentleman, oh, we have a gender. Yes, thank you for that, man. Please send in your gender at least, if not a name.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman has a huge desire to have his opinions heard, his ideas heard, his critical analysis heard. So if this man is an auditor or a judge or is quite authoritative, maybe a principal, something like that, a leader in business, a manager, it would make perfect sense. This is a critical thinker who likes to have his ideas listened to, doesn't like to be told where to stand, how to stand there, doesn't like the boundaries, doesn't like to be limited, likes to be expansive in his thinking, which makes for a great ideas person, doesn't it? Fantastic. And has a very dramatic way about how things are designed, how they put together, what's done, whether it's systems or it's a strategy or it's anything. There is a critical way that he wants it done. And he's probably right, actually, because this is not a person who's looking at anything in one dimension. This is a very free, open thinker. Not necessarily willing to take criticism, not willing to be directed, not willing to be told what to do, but a free thinker in the mind, and so therefore that's the potential. If that was liberated, if that was supported, if there was a childhood and an adulthood that has done the work to bring out that potential, we have a phenomenal educator, teacher about the ideas, etc., 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't, we have a person terrified of rejection. We have a person who's held himself back because he wasn't getting the affirmation he needed. We have somebody who fears opinion of others. But obviously that's a direct negative imposed reflection of having so many opinions of others. When you realize how strong your opinions are of others, you recognize other people can have those too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sensitive to that and you want affirmation, well, then you think, what are they thinking about me? That you'll hold yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most liberating things I have learned to do is to pursue the things I'm passionate about, independent of the opinions of others, the affirmation of others, etc. And I want to actually do an intuitive profiling evening. I mentioned that to you. Mm. Finding a venue is not so easy. If anyone out there knows where a venue is, tweet me, send a pigeon, send a smoke signal, send something, email me.
SMS us quickly if you know a venue.
Yeah, I need a central venue because I have people who attend from all over the place, left, right and center, and I want to make it convenient.
Lovely.
But they're not easy to find, right? But doing that kind of thing risks rejection. It risks a small turnout. It risks people not being interested. It risks many things. But I've learned to do what I believe is right for myself, what I'm excited about, independent of affirmation or opinions or scrutiny of others. When I know that it feels right inside and it is not going to bring harm to anybody else, I know I'm probably in line with the creator's thinking.
Hmm.
Probably.
Okay, let's move on. I think we have Colin on the line. Hi, good morning, Colin. Is Colin there? Sorry, Colin, you were waiting for us. Please do phone us back. We have Mashleo. I'm not sure if I've got that.
Mashlao.
Hello, Mashlao.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks, Mashlao. You want to talk to Bev?
Yes, I have a bit of a voice problem, but I'll try to be as clear as possible.
Thank you, Mashlao.
Yes, I was born on the 3rd of March.
3rd of March?
Actually, the 7th of March, sorry. The 7th of March.
Well, that makes you a whole different person, actually. Okay, so let's do the 7th
of March. 7th of March, 1980.
1980.
Yeah, 1980.
Okay. Do you have any specific questions?
No specific question, just everything in general.
Mashla, are you going to listen on the radio?
I'll do that. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
I hope your voice comes back soon.
I hope so. It's been a while now.
Oh, shame, man. Sorry, Mashla. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so you've got Mashla's details.
Yeah,
there.
Very different person to the 3rd of March. Whoever it was born the 3rd of March said, yeah, anyway, let's not worry about them.
Let's move straight
let's focus on Mashla. So we have the 7th of March, 1980. And obviously we have a lady who likes to create a following here. She wants to be followed. She wants to be led. And so therefore, when she doesn't feel like she's in her power, the first thing she'll do is explain it, apologize for it, etc., which makes perfect sense, doesn't it? My voice is not right. This is why. You know, we don't know what her voice sounds like. Oh. We've never spoken to her before. So how would we know that that's not her very usual fantastic voice, as opposed to a voice that is fantastic now, but is more fantastic on other days? Right. So when we have somebody who is subject to scrutiny and subject to people's opinions and wants to be followed and in a magnanimous way, wants to be able to do things that is significant and helpful for the world, and has her own story she needs to get into and is sensitive, we need to encourage this person. Mashla, I'm going to like outright speak straight to you and encourage you completely to work in your life independent of the opinions or scrutiny of others. Do not apologize for what you think, how you want to do things, and what you believe in, provided you make certain that it feels good inside and it is not going to bring harm to other people. You're probably doing what will have value in the world, not just for you, but for the world, even on a small scale. People think when I talk about changing the world that you have to be on Oprah, which would be impossible now because not even Oprah has Oprah, you know. But you have to be so big that everyone can see you from every corner, and it's not true. There are people running small projects here and there who are making significant changes and impacts in the world. And I met somebody through Chai, a wonderful lady, Rufilwe, who does the most unbelievable charitable work in Soweto with a team of girls she put together washing the homes of the elderly to help them live with dignity and have hygiene. Wow. And making an effort, small projects, etc. Did she get on Oprah? No. But is she contributing in the world? Is she doing what feels right
in
inside?
In a huge way.
And it makes an impact. You know, in the Jewish way of thinking, we know that every person is a world. I don't know if Buddhist, Sikhs, Islam, Christian think the same way. I know that's a Jewish way of thinking. And as each person is a world, you have to know that when I say do something that has a positive effect on the world, I mean your world and the world next to you and the world next to you. And if that happens to touch enough worlds to make a huge difference on planet Earth, great. But you need to recognize that when you make a difference in just one person's life, you've made a huge difference. And our perception of huge gets skewed because of what Hollywood has done, what the media has done. But huge is now right here, doing what feels right for me, honoring myself, and thereby honoring the world around me and the worlds around me. And so there's a ripple effect. We talk about it in the butterfly effect very much. A butterfly flaps its wings in China and you have a hurricane in Canada or something ridiculous like that, right? But the whole concept is that everything affects everything. And so when you're going to open your mouth and be negative about something, but you choose not to, and you put something positive out there, or just keep quiet, the ripple effects of that changing the world are significant. And I give a quick example. If you go to a teller and you're rude to the teller, you're rude to the clerk, you don't greet the person at one of the shops when you're checking out and they're cashing up for you. You don't greet them because why? I don't know. You've lost your dignity, humanity. You forgot your basic common sense.
Your mind elsewhere and you worrying about something.
Maybe, but when you're about to have an interaction with something, I think the least common denominator is acknowledge their existence. Right. We do more with parking meters. Come on, work for me. You know, we speak more to them than we do to a cashier. But I'm just putting it out there. Have a moment, say hello. But if you don't, and let's say that person actually says hello and you snub them, and they take that home with them, and they're hurt and they're biting inside, but there's nothing for them to do with. But the kid spills some milk and gets a clap, gets a smack, a good South African clap. Look, where does that come from? If that woman went home with a consciousness of having been greeted, who didn't feel slighted or snubbed or put down, she might have gone home with a totally different energy, and the kid could have knocked it over. She would have helped him clean it up. We have effect. Do not think you're ineffectual because you're quiet. Don't think you're ineffectual because you don't greet people. Because I didn't say anything to him. You said plenty by not saying think. think. We're powerful. We have effect constantly.
Mashla, I hope that you got a lot from that. I'm sure you did. We have Molly on the line as well. Hi, good morning, Molly. Thanks for holding for us.
Good morning to you.
Hi, Molly. Do you have your birth date for us, my dear?
The 9th of March, 52.
We have a lot of guessing on birth dates. You certain about that?
Sorry, I'm just a bit...
9th of March, 1953. 52. My apologies, my dear. Okay, 1952.
Yeah.
And is there anything specific you'd like to look at?
Well, look, it's a very special birthday because I'm now turning the clock.
Oh, I see that. It's a two ending. Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So let's look at the energy of this year, shall we?
Absolutely.
Lovely. Will you listen on radio?
Yes, I shall do.
Thanks,
so
Molly.
Can I switch off my...
phone. Absolutely. You can put the phone down.
Super.
Keep the radio on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Molly. Thank you for calling.
All right. So it is a big birthday. I just had one of those, you know, not 1952, 1972. So I just turned the big, you know, 40.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm all grown up now. Lots of responsibilities.
The world has changed overnight.
Yes, I keep saying it. It's now downhill with speed and license. I love it. So 1952.
With a twinkle in her eye.
Exactly.
Yes.
1952 would make the big year 60, isn't it? Is my math right? It is, isn't it? 1952,
yes.
40, 50,
60. Yes.
It's the big 60.
We
okay.
hope, Molly.
So, Molly, I can tell you that, you know, it's still downhill with speed and license. My son's convinced I've already started shrinking. Every now and then he'll say to me, stand up, woman. I say to him, I am standing. So, you know, we do change and there is deterioration, but you can either do it with joy or without it, your choice. So moving into this year, what we're moving into here is a year that is very much about making certain and solidifying in your mind how you have handled the last 7 or 8 years, because remember, life moves in cycles, and some people will say it's 7 year cycles, and some will say it's 9, and some say it's 1 year is a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you move in an energetic 9 year cycle, then what you're very much moving into, and I like to think of that energetically making sense, because in a numeric profiling, we can't go past 10, actually. 10 is 1. Again.
Right.
So we can't go past 9, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So everything comes down to one number. So 19 is 1 and 9 is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1.
Oh, I see.
So,
9, 1, 10, 1 plus 0.
Right. So okay. As soon as you get to 9 and you go to 10, 1 and 0 is actually 1. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get past 9. So therefore it makes sense energetically for me that things move in a 9 cycle.
Okay.
So in a year that is 2012, it's a 5 year, and her year energy is essentially an 8 year energy. Right. And that's very much about concretizing, making things solid. Don't worry about how I get to it. It's not important. The point is, Molly, what I'm encouraging you to do is look at what's solid. Look at what's been flexible and it hasn't served you. And look at what's been rigid and hasn't served you. It's very much about the structures. This year is very much about the structures you have set up and upheld. And you will have seen that in the last 10 years or so, less 8 to 10 years, you put new structures in. You've made new inflexibilities. You became too flexible in certain areas. There will be that.
Mm-hmm.
Time to regroup. This is a beautifully supported time to have a look at where you've been too flexible and it hasn't served you because it didn't feel good inside and you need to put up some boundaries, and where you've been inflexible and it hasn't served you because you don't feel good inside and it's keeping you from feeling the fullest potential of relationships around you and opportunities and etc. So just on one foot, I would say that that's a wonderful way to use the energy moving into this completed 60th year and to, because you're moving into new energy therefore, and then there's opportunity to be supported in beginning again. Just remember that you can begin again at any time. My favorite line is, you messed up, it's okay, begin again.
Yeah.
You stuffed up, you said
refresh.
The wrong thing. Apologize, begin again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is control Z if not begin again?
Yeah.
That's what we need, control Z. Just, that's what I think. I stuffed up, control Z.
Did.
Okay, that didn't work. Let me just begin again. Exhale, begin again. So,
and that's very empowering.
It is.
As opposed to thinking, I did wrong, there's no redemption, I'll just continue on this path.
Correct. Correct. There's a beautiful saying that I heard at a talk. Actually, I think it was the chief rabbi, she quoted, that had said it, of South Africa. He said, there is no status quo. And I absolutely love that, because as soon as we believe there's a status quo, it means I have to stand at this point, I have to remain this person, I have to remain with my inflexibilities, my insecurities, my fears, my limitations, where I'm at, etc. And I also have to remain with my current abilities, my current strengths, my current capacity, my current persistence, my current everything. And those are both limiting thoughts. I want to believe that I can be better at what I'm passionate about tomorrow. I want to believe I can be lesser indulged in my insecurities tomorrow. I don't want to believe I have to live with the same fears, the same anxieties, and the same limitations tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I give myself permission every moment to regroup, redesign, and begin again.
Brilliant. Brilliant, yes, brilliant.
Do it, Molly.
So there we have it, Molly. This is a good time for you. We have Carol. Carol, you've been patiently waiting for us. Thank you so much.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, Carol. May I have your birthday, please?
Yes, it's 28th of January, 1944.
Is there anything specific you'd like us to look at?
Well, in general and work.
In general and work. Okay.
I can listen on the radio.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
All right, so in general and work. All right, so it would have been interesting to have asked Carol what she has done vocationally, but I imagine and I'm hoping that it has been in the area of education or teaching.
That would be interesting.
Sharing.
Yeah,
it would have been very interesting because she's very creative in the way she speaks and educates and shares information. And she loves to share information, but she's also a leader. She's a natural get things doneer. And not everybody is. Some people are driven solely by inspiration, but Carol's very much a I can get on with it anyway kind of person, which is wonderful and very empowering, because she wouldn't be held back by going, well, I just don't feel like it, I can't get moving, etc. She's got a much more natural tendency towards getting things done. Even if she doesn't feel like it, she can create the impetus herself, whereas a more passive person will go, I don't feel like it, and so therefore I won't. And so be it. Let's see how that works for me, right? So having Carol in a team or in a business environment where when she's feeling empowered is an incredibly powerful tool, because she's creative. She likes to take direction. She can follow direction, but it has to be of people she respects. She's not easily going to follow people that don't create a sense of respect for her. They need to earn that place there. So if somebody's hierarchically above her in business, that's fine. She'll listen to them. Will she respect them? Unless they earn it. And a lot of people will respect others just because they are in an elder position, whether it's business or community or society. Not Carol. Carol knows that people must earn respect, because there's a way to behave, there's a way not to behave, and if they behave in those boundaries, she'll respect them. If they don't, she won't. She's a lovely nurturer. She's caring. She loves to take care of other people, and probably the most wonderful partner, parent, grandparent, if she's had that opportunity. And I'm certain that people who know her mind is absolutely sharp, absolutely quick on the button, and likes to think of new ideas and take them further. Whereas a lot of people will get ideas, get ideas, get ideas, get ideas, do nothing. Some of the work there that Carol will have had to do is to have overcome insecurities and fears of rejection. Now, I'm hoping, I'm speaking to the Carol who's done that. Because if not, okay, no problem. So you're still young, you're 67. So start doing that work. Start doing it. There's absolutely no time.
Again, now is the now, power is now.
Otherwise, stop stealing the oxygen. I'm not you, Carol. I mean, other people. You know, if you're not going to use it in a way that really helps, there's so many plants that need it. Really, don't steal oxygen. There's a lot of oxygen thievery going on planet Earth, and I really encourage people to stop stealing it, start using it. It's like time, like energy, it's like money. You can spend it or you can invest it. If you spend your time, energy, or money, well, normally it's on things that don't have a real purpose, don't have a higher purpose, and don't actually leave you feeling full. When you invest time, money, or energy, you generally feel fuller afterwards. You have something to show for it, and if nothing else, a memory that you can attach to.
Thanks, Bev. We're going to take a break. After the break, we're going to look at the female who sent through the 11th of February, 1970. 11 February, 1970.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabourini on 101.9
ISM. Welcome back. Fabulous Friday it is. We have Bev Malun in the studio. Now, Esther, I have already announced that Bev is going to be looking at the birth date, the 11th of Feb, 1970. So, Esther, please stay with us. We will be taking you as the last birthday and the last call. So, Bev, let's look at 11 Feb, 1970, just before we take Esther.
Okay. What is 4 and 8?
12.
Right. Sometimes that goes blank. Okay, it's the little math that can be the problem.
Thank God for fingers.
You know, if you said what is x squared plus x minus 1, I can give you the, you know, but this, honestly, sometimes the little fingers run out. Thank you. Sorry. All right, so woman of the 11th of February, 1970. 2 and 2 is 8. So, yeah, I definitely have the math right. So thanks to Nikki, the oracle. What we have here, again, you know, I've always said this, haven't I, Nikki? We have a theme. It just comes up.
Yes.
Every week we have a theme.
Yes, we
do. Here we have all the wannabe leaders. So I'm going to hope that everyone has done the work in and around their insecurities, okay, fears of rejection, need for affirmation, etc., to know that if other people affirm you, it's a bonus. And believe me, I love it. Fluff out my tail feathers, go for it.
Mm.
But if they don't, you have to know that you were good enough on the day and that was their personal opinion, of which they're entitled,
mm-hmm,
completely entitled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my encouragement, right?
Okay.
So again, here we have a sensitive but a natural, creative thinking,
amazing,
able-minded leader with a very specific way about it. Now, here's one of my concerns. One of the tendencies of this person is to tend towards emotional manipulation. So I'm speaking straight to you. We don't know who you are. No one else does either. You do. When you're hurt, when you're disappointed and when you're let down, have you been trying to make people feel bad about what they've done instead of being honest and saying, that was hurtful for me, I'm disappointed because I had hoped it would have been this way. Can we do it that way in future? Because I'm getting a very strong emotional manipulative energy in the victim role here. And that's a tendency we all have. I've overcome that. I used to be queen victim. Honestly, I wore the crown. It didn't have shiny gems in it, obviously, because I was a victim. But, you know, it was dirty and tarnished, and that's what that crown looks like. If you want to wear a shiny crown that attracts beautiful attention, it has to be shined up and proud of, mm-hmm, itself, independent of the opinion of others.
Right.
Right. But when we feel like the world is hard and we want to help and we want to give and we want to care and we want to do, and that's all what she's about, this lady. She has all of that, and she's strong, and she has direction, and she has power. She has all those things, but we have a very wonderfully sensitive human being here. Have you done the work? Are you recognizing that there's places where you get hurt and disappointed and you tend to drama and manipulation? Have you fixed that? Because if I'm speaking to a woman who's fixed that, I'm speaking to a 42-year-old woman who's just had her birthday, happy birthday. And
happy birthday.
I'm hoping that you're reaching into that power, because this is certainly the time to do it. Certainly the time to decide how the next 80 years will play out.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter how the last 42 have been. It was just a beginning. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My son has a line from a movie. I'm trying to remember quickly which it was. One of his favorite lines. And he says, the line is, I think it might be Kung Fu Panda,
yes,
in Kung Fu Panda 2. And he's going through this whole pain about his childhood and his past. And he was abandoned, but he can't understand how. And basically, mm-hmm, his mother and father are trying to save him. But he says, it doesn't matter, something along these lines, what the beginning of the story was. It matters how the story ends.
Mm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So what I say to people, I recognize we all have different levels of challenge in our childhood. And some will honestly tell me, my childhood was wonderful. So wonderful that being a passive person, I haven't reached into my potential. And other people will tell me, you know, it was terrible, it was too terrible. It was like, and I can't help myself. No, I don't want to hear that. I understand that of a person who cannot walk, who says, I can't help myself get up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not understand that of a person who is able-minded and able-being, who says, no, I can't help myself from being violent. I can't help. No, I don't buy it. Sorry, don't buy it. You can, but you can't let go of the disappointments. How the story begins is not nearly as important as how the story continues and ends. You decide on that.
Mm-hmm.
You take back your power from your childhood when you decide to take responsibility for your behavior in dependent of how brutal, violent, hard, disappointing, challenging, or frustrating the beginning of the story was. So with this lady to end off before we take the last call, I have to ask you if you've looked at how you can change your interactions, relationships, behavior, and everything to make certain it's serving you, because manipulating other people so that they'll be nice to you, into feeling bad, I can't believe you do that. I'm so sad you did that. No, be sad about what happened. But when it's happened, communicate what your preference would be, what your need is.
Okay.
Trying to get other people to feel anything is a very unhealthy use of time.
Enough said. Moving on. Esther, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Thank you so much for holding, Esther.
Sure.
Hi, Esther.
Hi, can I give you my birthday?
Please.
It's the 26th of October, 1981.
26th of October, 1981.
That's it.
Any specific questions?
No, nothing at all.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. Bye.
Okay, so I can tell you right off the bat, Esther wants to know she's a lovely person. Esther loves affirmation. She likes to have her tail feathers fluffed out. And so we're going to tell you right off the bat, Esther, you're wonderful. You're so lovely. She's a nurturer. She's a carer. She's a caregiver. And therefore, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, there's a tendency to smothering. She's also powerful, can take leadership, can take direction, get things going, loves to help, loves to help. And so I'm going to ask you right off the bat, Esther, are you helping Esther first? Question one, are we making sure Esther is intact? Are we making sure Esther's needs are met? Because you're very quick to help everybody else and you have all the right ideas and all the right answers and your outreach is phenomenal and I know it. If we had to sit with Esther's friend, she'd say, well, she's so busy. She does this, she does that. She does four times the amount of things a normal person does in a day and I don't know how she does it. But she's an on-the-move type person who loves to get going and help people and flow and give and it's phenomenal. Therefore, the natural work is, am I self-preserving me? Am I making certain my needs are met? Am I making certain I'm communicating my need? Because when you're so busy being insightful about what other people's needs are, and she is, she's intuitive about that, are we communicating our own needs or are we waiting for someone else to figure them out, especially in partnership and closeness? So a wonderful person, very creative thinker, very capable, very driven. Are we preserving the soft? That's all.
There's
That's
the question. Esther. Thank you so much, Bev. Gee, you got through so many, and thank you for all the SMSs and calls. And if Bev didn't look at your both day, don't worry. Bev will be with us same time next week, 9:30 to 10. I believe you're going to watch comedian Tracy Kloss.
I am.
When are you going to see her on Saturday night?
I think so, yes.
Listen, I went last night. I encourage all our high listeners to go to Sandton, the old Mutual Theatre on the Square. You will be in
Saturday night.
Let me know what you think.
I will do.
Enjoy, Bev. Thank you so much.
Send a pigeon.
Tweet me, darling. Tweet.